Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hi, I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
And this is episode 40.
40?
Of Nerd Nuptial.
That's crazy.
That seems like when I typed in the numbers before we started recording, I was like, wait, what episode is it? 40, that can't be right. 40 times we've sat down to do this. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Now, what we're going to talk about today is something that we've been really looking forward to. Like we've been talking about it on the show a couple of times. I've been talking about it online, and that is Netflix original series, The Crown.
We keep calling it The Queen.
the entire weekend,
yeah.
We're like, hey, do we have time to watch The Queen? Wait, are we talking about The Crown, or are we talking about the movie The Queen? I don't know. But we both thought that we were going to do that all weekend, and to be honest with you guys, like longtime fans of the show know that when a new season of a Netflix original drops, we are all about it. Like we drop everything, and like with House of Cards, we watch season 4 twice in one weekend.
I still don't know how that happened.
I don't know either.
That was dedication.
Like I had a friend at work say, "Are you okay? Like, are you and the girl okay? Do you guys have friends that you see on weekends? Is that what you do on weekends?"
Netflix is our friend. Especially when a season of television drops.
But with this one, we've only seen the first episode.
Yeah. It was gorgeous here. It was like 70 degrees and beautiful fall days. So we decided to go outside. Crazy. I mean, that's weird for us.
I know. Venturing out into the open air and sunlight is a very rare thing for this Nerd Nuptial to do. And so, yeah, like you said, it was 70 degrees in November.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous. And we came inside and we're like, you know what? We can't be in here. We can't do
it
this.
It felt wrong. And especially where we live in Chicago, you don't get very many days like this. So to take advantage of them while they come around.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because next week it could be, you know, freezing.
And snowing.
Yeah, exactly.
It really could.
It really could.
That's the freaky part of living in Northern Illinois. Mm-hmm. Is that yesterday, like today it was 70, tomorrow it could be 32. You know,
yeah.
It's just, ugh. But yeah, so we went outside all the time and we kept thinking that we were going to, you know, watch the crown. But then just being outside got in the way. I just want to talk about this just a little bit. So some of you know and some of you don't what I do for a living. I'm a producer. I'm a video producer, and I'm a very hands-on producer though. So I do for smaller shoots, I do my own shooting. I'll handle the camera and everything like that. And so I'm also a photographer, and you are with child.
Yes.
And
I'm getting a lot bigger.
And you wanted maternity photos.
Well, yeah, we both did. And I was trying to convince you to hire a photographer, and I feel like I offended you because you're like, well, I'm a professional. How dare you insult me by saying that we would need to hire someone to do this? And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, how are you going to do this? Like, are you going to put it on a tripod and then like run? Like, how are you going to get a photo of both of us? Because I don't want just me, you know, in the belly bump. Mm-hmm. I want you in there too. And so this weekend we were like, okay, we're going to find a day and it's going to be a test run of our maternity pictures. And guess who was right?
But yeah, I answered that question. You know, like you said, like, what are you going to do? Just put it on a tripod and run? I was like, yeah, that is exactly
and
what
that is exactly what you did. A few times you almost face planted because you tripped.
I tried to jump over the tripod,
yeah.
And I inevitably hit it with my foot and ruined the shot as well as almost put my face in the mud.
Yeah. So, and also we like candid pictures and mm-hmm. It's a little hard to do that when you're trying to be the photographer and be in the show.
Photo. Yeah. being the photographer and the subject is hard where you cannot.
It doesn't look natural.
No, it doesn't. Like I'm holding your stomach and I have this really fake smile on like a little sweaty from running back. You know, just like, okay, did it take it?
Is it good?
Yeah.
No, we got a few good ones. And
we did.
We did.
But not as many as you would expect from a photo shoot.
Right,
we
right.
We got maybe like 3-4 pretty solid ones. Yeah.
And most of the really good ones are just of me. So, not per, to brag.
Per but usual.
No, it just makes more sense because it was like, okay, you were able to take, you know, the camera off the tripod and actually use it.
Yeah.
Whereas it was just a little awkward, but... Yeah.
Well, speaking of good photography, The Crown did have that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It was beautifully done. Actually, you know what? Before we even get into The Crown, I want to talk about something that I'm very excited about because this is the first show released with the relaunch of The Nerd Party. And for some of you who are listening to this, like Nerd Nuptial listeners are getting a sneak peek to this because we're not making the full announcement until later in the day. We release this midnight on Monday Central Time, and we're making the grand announcement probably around 10 a.m. Central Time. The Nerd Party has expanded. It is expanding. It's more than doubling in size, and we are absolutely excited about this. Everyone who's a part of the Nerd Party is excited about this, where you'll see the announcement if you pay attention on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. But if you're just listening, you have 4 more shows that you're going to get to listen to in addition to our 3 original shows. So you're still going to have Nerd Nuptial. It's going to come to you every single Monday. You're going to have Aggressive Negotiations come to you every Tuesday. The Senate Floor is now going to be Filibuster full time. That's our General Geek podcast. But what we're doing with that one is that we are opening it up to every single host. So it's not just going to be me, Matt Hansen, or Lee Hutchison. It's going to be everybody who's a part of the Nerd Party, and maybe even some guests, and we're going to talk about whatever we want. And then coming to you on Thursdays, which I'm very excited about, is a new show from yours truly called Punch It, Writing in Pop Culture, where, as some of you know, like I was a part of a Star Trek Voyager podcast called To the Journey. We are finishing that. We're finishing that show, and new people are taking that over. But our last show is this Thursday from when this show was released. And simultaneously, Punch It is up. It's a show about of what the tagline is, writing in pop culture, where we're going to do episodes on the fly. We're going to do episode rewrites. We're going to analyze structures of movies and television, maybe even do some story times, original writings, things like that. Or just things that are focused on writing in pop culture.
And you're doing that with Charlene.
That's right. I'm doing that with my To the Journey host,
yeah.
Charlene Schmidt. And so she's now a part of the Nerd Party, and both you and I are very excited about that.
Yeah.
Bringing on that voice to the network. And on Fridays, SETI Alpha 3 is coming out. That is our first Star Trek podcast. And this is another thing that I'm very excited about. It's a general Star Trek podcast. You're going to get people talking about all sorts of things. And the 3 hosts might sound familiar to some of you. Daniel Prue, Darren Moser, Philip Gilfus. You've heard them on another Star Trek podcast before. They finished that one. Now they're coming over to a new one on the Nerd Party. So those voices are coming on. And then it doesn't stop there. We have, seriously, we have so much more coming. Saturdays, you have another Star Wars podcast called Great Shot Kid with our own John Mills, and also introducing Mike Schindler into the network. Some of you might have heard of Stage 9, which is on the Trek.fm network. This is a Star Wars version where they look at the creators of Star Wars, but they're non-Star Wars works. So if since J.J. directed Star Wars The Force Awakens, they might look at Lost or Westworld or, you know, Alias or something like that. Super 8.
Very cool.
And then on Sundays, we have Missing Frames, Catching Up on Cinema. And this is a very interesting concept. This is your host, Sean Eastridge, is coming. Some of you know him as Sean Doorman online. And he is hosting a show that is all about, you know, we all have those movies that we should have seen by now, you know?
And we're like afraid to actually admit.
I know, right? Like, yeah, so, like you and I are like absolutely victim to that.
Oh, yeah.
And, but like, he's taking that concept and realizing that everybody has that list of movies. He is finding those people who haven't seen those movies. His first episode is about Citizen Kane. So he finds someone who hasn't seen Citizen Kane, talks to them about it, what they think of it without even seeing it, then gives some history on the movie and some backstory. And then the people watch it and he interviews them again.
Very cool.
And I think his first couple of episodes are Citizen Kane, Gremlins, and E.T. I think that's such a great selection.
Nice.
So from here on out, folks, you're going to get a Nerd Party episode every single day of the week.
That's crazy. Look how big we've grown.
I know. This is insane. We just started the network in February. It's November, and we've more than doubled in size.
It's awesome.
And it's all thanks to you guys. It is thanks to the listeners. It is thanks to you guys for downloading, subscribing, listening, and talking to your friends about us. Because without you, we wouldn't have been able to grow this much. And so now we have 7 shows. And I'll be honest with you, we have more on the horizon. Yeah. We have more in the works. And we're constantly looking for good talent. And
we got to add more days of the week.
See, this is another reason why I married you. You're a thinker. Like you're an idea woman. But yeah, so anyway, that was a long diatribe. But
that's what's been going on this weekend too, though.
Another reason why we couldn't watch The Crown.
Yeah, not fully.
yeah, because you and I have been working behind the scenes on getting this done.
Yeah.
Making videos, making announcements, making art, lots of art, and coordinating everybody's schedules. And so, yeah, we have 13 members of the Nerd Party now on 7 shows. And our little family, our little party.
That's right.
Is not so little anymore. So, yes. So, everyone, please go to thenerdparty.com to check out more about these shows, preview the art, preview their descriptions. And those shows will be dropping on those days this week. And after this week, you'll get them on a regular schedule every single week. So, enough about that.
Yeah, let's talk about The Crown.
Yes, let's talk about The Crown. We only saw the first episode.
Well, we kind of wanted to do it this way because we understand that not everyone is as hardcore as we are. And watch the whole season. And we weren't this time.
We weren't hardcore.
We just had
time.
Too much going on this weekend.
Yeah,
so
like normal people.
I know, it was weird. Yeah, so first impressions.
Well,
or do you not want to do that?
No. I think first impressions is good because so much has been building up to this. Like this was our most anticipated show, I think, of the year. Wouldn't you say? Or at least this season.
I think of this season. Like, I mean, I feel like we
Although
stumbled.
Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, I was going to say. Okay. I don't know.
I take that back then.
But it, you know.
Truly original work.
Right.
Because Gilmore Girls is a like a sequel series.
Right.
I was not wowed with the first episode. I'm intrigued to move forward.
Yeah, and I think it's beautifully done.
Yeah.
And, it feels like a Netflix show, kind of like House of Cards. It feels very much so like the professionalism of the shooting and the acting seems good so far. A little hard to understand the people.
I think it got better. But yeah, I don't know if it's because I'm an ugly American or what, but the audio mix didn't feel right at the beginning where everybody was just kind of mumbling.
It and got
then,
better.
Then mixed with the accent, you're just like, oh my gosh, I got every fourth word. And I was like, I know what's happening from, you know, learning history, but...
Context, yeah.
And from context. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it wasn't until like the 20-25 minute mark when they started speaking up finally.
I feel like they're taking their time.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Which I think is okay.
Super slow.
But this first episode is pretty slow.
If this was a network show, the first episode would never look like this.
It's true. It's very true. I think it's just because of the style of what Netflix does that they know they can take their time.
Yeah.
And they have, you know, they've got quite a few years to fill, so if they want to, you know, Jesus.
Well, that's the thing, though.
That's the thing.
I could almost argue the opposite point.
Really?
Where what they want to do is, I don't know if they're going to stick to this concept, and I don't know if this is accurate, but I thought I read somewhere that each season is going to be 10 years in Elizabeth's reign.
Oh, I didn't realize that this was going to go on.
So if that's the case, then they kind of need to pick up the pace.
Oh, okay.
Like if they're going to cover
10 years realize that.
In one season. I mean, that's more time than they cover in Downton Abbey.
Which is impressive.
That's a feat
that
upon
is.
Itself.
It's very true.
Yeah, right off the bat, I was thinking, okay, if this was a network show, we would definitely get much more exciting things happening. They would have much more of of a three-part structure or even a five-part structure since it's TV. But this one was very much, oh, we're in this for the long haul. Like, this is more like a 10-part movie than it is episodes of television.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel that way too. Yeah, even the way it ended, you're like, okay, this season's going to take its time. It's going to really explore as much as it possibly can, which I don't think there's anything wrong with.
No.
But we'll see.
Right, exactly. That's the thing, is that, like, we're not downplaying anything. Like, we're not trying to say it was bad. It just, it didn't knock. Like, here's the thing. The first episode of House of Cards
is one of my favorites.
Yeah. It's one of the best first episodes, I think, made in a very long time. And with this one, I guess I was expecting, like, a British... This is going to sound stupid because I know that the original House of Cards is British. But I was expecting more of a House of Cards feel with this. I'm saying that wrong. Like, what am I trying to say? Not House of Cards, like...
Pacing?
Maybe the pacing. That's what I'm looking for.
Pacing of House of Cards?
Not, like, conniving, backstabbing, you know. Yeah, like, nothing like that. I was just thinking that much... that kind of pacing, like the pacing within House of Cards.
Okay.
I guess that's wrong of me, because this is a very different
feel
of it. Like, House of Cards is all about the political process and the backstabbing and the conniving and the backchanneling and everything like that. This is very much examining a dynasty, you know, like, just, this is, you know, like, the king is sick, long live the queen, you know, that kind of thing.
Right,
like,
And
it's not even there yet. We're laying the groundwork.
Right.
I honestly thought that we were going to start with Elizabeth's reign, but we haven't gotten there yet.
I didn't think that. I thought that we were going to start, like, possibly at childhood.
Oh, really?
So I guess I expected it to take its time. I just think that for a first episode, it really took its time.
Yes. That's something that you need to think about, because... You know, they know their audience and they know their distribution.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was not made and then shopped around. This was made specifically for Netflix.
Right. Well, and I think you have to think of it that way, is I'm sure when we actually finish the season, we're going to see it as a whole instead of seeing it, you know, as individual episodes. Because I feel like that's how I view House of Cards anyway. So, you know.
That's true.
I feel like you kind of have to look at it that way. Like, okay, this season, this happened. You know,
so you're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
But so far, I mean, I think that, you know, the actors they've chosen seem pretty good. I like Lane Price.
Jared Hess.
I know.
Yeah, he's I love Jared Hess.
Yeah.
So much. He's such a good actor.
When he started crying in the when people were singing during Christmas time, that I got all choked up.
Yeah, he was so believable. He was so convincing. And the first episode is very much about him.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the king.
Mm-hmm.
It's about it's about him and the Philip and Elizabeth, like, we see them get married, but it's very much, you know, the kind of a side story. It's about how the king is sick and how he had to have a lung removed and everything like that. Guys, we're not spoiling anything for you. This all happened.
I was going to say, this is history, so
it's very much focused on the king, and I think that's good, because if you're going to get somebody as a phenomenal actor as Jared Hess, and you know he's not going to be around for very much longer, you know, like, you got to use him.
Right. And that's what I was thinking, too.
He had such a, like that Christmas scene when the carolers came in. That was, I know you're experienced in acting, and you're a great actress, and you're a great director. Every time I've seen you do what he did on stage, like, whenever I've seen you cry on stage, and how you just, like, we were in the Crucible together, and seeing you as Mary Warren on stage, and just, like, it's like you flip on a switch and this raw emotion just comes out. I cannot do that. Like, you want me to scream on stage. You want me to be flippant or sarcastic. Like, even if you want me to crack some jokes and be funny, I can do that. But if you need me to get emotional, no.
It's too hard to access.
It is too hard to access for me. And so I have nothing but respect for people when I see them on TV or when I see it live.
I think there is a fine line of, like, oh, they're crying, or they're actually, like, you feel the emotion coming through.
Yes.
You know, like, anyone can fake cry.
Right.
But when you actually feel what they're feeling, that, I think, is a skill that, mm-hmm. of itself. So, and I don't think very many people have that ability.
And, yeah, and, like, we knew exactly what he was feeling. It wasn't mm-hmm. just when the king was there and he started to cry, it wasn't just because he was overly emotional or even because he was sick. It was, this could be my last Christmas with my family.
Exactly. Exactly.
And he wasn't bawling. And it, right. But it wasn't just one solitary tear that male actors like to do. You know, it was like he was crying.
It was in his eyes.
Yeah, it was in his eyes. And it's just, yeah, when he started saying thank you to all mm-hmm. the carolers, that's when I got a little choked
up. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I liked seeing, like, the home movies of
Philip and Elizabeth.
And I feel like this is going to take such a turn where, you know, you see them happy, you know, mm-hmm. like, on their beach, you know. You know, he's rowing, and they're, like, making their new house, and, you know, they have these beautiful kids. And then I feel like as soon as they get into the palace, it's going to just go downhill, and it's going to be colder.
Yeah.
It's going to be this division between the two of them. I just feel that's coming. Mm-hmm. You can feel that storm.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's a very apt description. Yeah. It's the storm that is coming. And it's, you know, like we've seen that, like, if you, you know, like, we've seen that with Birdie and his wife, you know, like, he was never meant to be king.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was not in line to be king. His brother was supposed to be king, mm-hmm. and then his brother abdicated. And so he kind of wasn't prepared for it. Like, he didn't get the same training that his brother did.
Right.
And so this was...
We've even seen, like, his kind of stage fright of going in front of, you know, his people and everything like that. It, you know, it's a new dynamic of to show that. You know,
showing a human king.
Yeah.
Is absolutely. Not something that we see too terribly often in TV and film.
No, not too much. Not too much.
Like,
yeah.
we've seen the evil king mm-hmm. many times, and we've seen the powerful king,
mm-hmm.
like Sean Connery, you know, in First Night and everything like that. But it's interesting to see a king with flaws, with stage fright, social anxiety, stutter, cancer, you know, like this guy had human. A lot going on. Mm-hmm. he was a human being
absolutely.
And so he had a great relationship with his wife before and thankfully during, but with Philip and Elizabeth, you can tell that they're laying the groundwork for, you know, like, it's so, like, they, you know, they live near the beach, they're in Malta, you know, like, he's in the Navy, she's, you know, just enjoying being a princess,
right,
not
right.
training to be queen.
Absolutely.
Because she thinks that she's not going to be queen for, like, another 30 years.
Right. Right. Absolutely. So she's enjoying her life now.
Right.
Yeah. It's interesting. The sister, Margaret, my eyes keep going to her.
She's pretty.
Yeah, she is. And I think that storyline will be interesting to mm-hmm. see played out.
She's flirting with a married
right,
man.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see the way they play that.
And that was an interesting story, you know, like Margaret's story when I was growing up, and the differences between Elizabeth and Margaret. And mm-hmm. I think they casted it very well, because the actress who plays Elizabeth is very beautiful.
Yeah.
But Margaret, the way that they do her hair and her makeup.
Just different.
You can tell that, like, oh, she's that sister.
Right. Yes. She's the more... Well, she's more the fun-loving sister, because she knows she doesn't have any responsibilities coming her way.
Yeah, she was what Birdie thought he was when he was a little bit younger. You know, like, Margaret's like, I'm not going to be queen. You know, like, Elizabeth is going to be queen.
Exactly.
You know, so I don't have to worry
about
it. Just
enjoy what comes with, yeah.
Being a princess in HRH.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's pretty interesting so far.
I always am interested to see how... you know, the family will react to mm-hmm. a series like this. Because, you know, you have this happen all the time with these biopics where, you know, people are either, like, frustrated with the depiction or they're like, oh, yeah, that was very accurate, or this mm-hmm. and this was not. Or, you know, so you're just interested to see where that, I don't know, if they ever comment.
I don't think they do.
I doubt it.
I don't think the Windsor family does
comment. Or
do
they watch it? Like,
I know, you always wonder that, because you, like, if... You know, like, if we were, of course, you know, like, if somebody depicted us in something, we would be all over it. But we're talking...
I don't think I would.
No, you wouldn't watch it.
No, I don't think I would.
I would have to. I would not be.
You would have to.
I would not be able to not watch it. Like, I'd have to absolutely watch it.
I don't think I would want to. I think I'd be like, I think, especially if it was like hard times or something, I'd be like, I don't want to relive that.
Well, yeah. I mean, they probably wouldn't make a movie of our lives of like, oh, they're so happy. They got married and have children and then that's it.
You're like, right. Like the end.
The end.
Boring story.
Yeah. Not boring to us.
No.
But boring on screen.
Right. Exactly.
As long as Jason Biggs doesn't play me, I'd be happy. I'd be absolutely happy.
That's the only requirement?
That's the only requirement.
That's hilarious.
I once did a, like, you take your picture and upload it, and it says, like, oh, what celebrity...
Who do you look like?
Like, what celebrity do you look like? And I got Jason Biggs one time, and I was like, oh, well, no, I don't want to, like, maybe it's the eyebrows and the nose, I don't know. But then another time, I got Madeline Stowe. even making that
okay.
up.
All right. Yeah. Is it okay if she plays you?
You know what? She's a handsome woman, so I think that would be okay.
That's all right.
I'd be fine if Madeline Stowe played me.
Okay.
You know, she'd have to deepen her voice just a little bit, but no, she's a talented actress.
All right.
It's kind of like how Meryl Streep could play Batman. You know,
that's true. Like, she can do no wrong. So there you go.
Who would you want to play you? I'm thinking Amy Adams.
Amy Adams would play me. Really? Or do you just want Amy Adams to play me?
That's not what I asked. Maybe accurate, but that's not what I
asked. I was going to say, we all say what we want.
Well, we could get a movie starring Amy Poehler and Jason Biggs. And then
that would be a very weird...
And that could be Nerd Nuptial right there. Or even better yet, Amy Poehler and Madeline Stowe.
I was going to say that. Well... I don't think Amy Poehler would play me.
Yeah, well, she's too old.
Right. But I don't know. Maybe Ellie Kemper.
Yes.
Would.
There you go.
I think Ellie Kemper would probably be more accurate of if I was cast. If someone casted to play me, whatever.
I don't know how the tense goes.
I don't know.
You understand what we're saying. Right. Yeah. No, there you go. Ellie Kemper and
even the
Stowe.
Age would be a little bit more. Yeah.
Much more age appropriate.
Yeah.
Even though Madeline Stowe is much older than me.
That's true. That is a weird duo. Okay. Well, yeah.
Back to the crown.
Back to the crown. John Lithgow.
Yes, let's talk about John Lithgow. Yeah. So we haven't seen too terribly much of his character yet. A couple of scenes. But you know that he's going to be a force. And his interpretation is very much the old curmudgeon.
Yes.
He's speaking, like, he was at the wedding of Elizabeth and Philip, and he was speaking up a little bit too loudly.
Yeah, like old people do.
Oh, we watched a behind the scenes, and it was interesting to see his transformation take place because they gave him makeup on his face to give him kind of jowls so that he looks older and a little heavier, and they also give him a hump. And so he's able to kind of, he puts on this bodysuit because John Lithgow, I mean, he's an older gentleman, but he's not in his 80s.
Right.
And he is by no means a large man. Look, well, I mean, he's a very, very tall man. But he's by no means an obese man. And Winston Churchill was just in odd shape. You know, like he was hunched over. He was large and just very, and had to walk with a cane. And so I feel like as an actor, and you can speak to this more than I can, that when you have that kind of makeup and that kind of costume and that kind of bodysuit, it must make it easier to get into character.
Well, whenever we have dress rehearsals with my kids, it's like, finally, thank you for bringing a character. Like, we can work on character as much as we possibly can during the rehearsal process, but it's almost like, you know, when you give a kid a cape or when you give a kid some old age makeup, it kind of helps to really help them, you know, find that identity. So, I mean, you see this all the time where, we saw that now with Kevin Spacey where he you know, actually used like a leg brace when he was playing Richard III.
To give himself a limp.
And it, like the entire rehearsal process because he wanted to get into that character immediately and not wait weeks and weeks or whatever months to get into character. So I feel like that absolutely is a help, and you know, I think it really works for John Lithgow.
Absolutely. He's got
he's so underrated.
John Lithgow is such a talented actor. I mean, he can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
He can be in any type of movie. He can be in comedy and drama. We've seen him in horror. We've seen him in so many different things. And I feel like when somebody says his name, John Lithgow, there's not a single person who doesn't like John Lithgow. But when we're talking about some of the greats, his name is never mentioned.
Yeah. I mean, he's not like my favorite, but I have to respect what he's able to do.
Yeah.
And I don't think that he's probably given enough credit for sure.
I don't think so. I might be overstating it because I like him a lot and I've seen a lot of his stuff growing up and today, but like, to me, I know that Gary Oldman gets a lot of accolades, and he should. But to me, John Lithgow and Gary Oldman are very much on the same level.
You think that he's just as dynamic and able to, you know, transform himself?
Yeah, I think Gary Oldman has had more opportunity.
That's true.
To morph himself, as well as had better publicity.
Mm-hmm.
But I think John Lithgow is just as good as an actor as Gary Oldman.
I get that.
So that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
And oddly enough, maybe the reason why Gary Oldman popped in my head is that there's going to be a film coming out soon about a Winston Churchill, and Gary Oldman's going to play him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's probably why it did pop in.
Yeah, subconsciously it just popped in where, Gary Oldman is going to, he transformed himself to, you don't even recognize him. And you never recognize Gary Oldman. Like, you recognize him in the Dark Knight trilogy, and that's about it. He's such a chameleon. But yeah, I'm interested to see, I really, really want to see the dynamic between Churchill and Elizabeth.
Yeah, I think that's what we're really waiting for, is to see that mentorship or fight that you kind of see, you're going to see between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which will be interesting.
From the books, it's kind of a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very much, like, in later in life, she realized how much he actually taught her. But during the time, it was
a struggle.
Growing pains.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
So besides, what else do you, like, what else struck you? What else did you like about it? Or what are you looking forward to?
Well, what struck me was, like, how I feel like they really captured the time and with the costumes and the locations and everything like that. And I really appreciate that aesthetic that it has going on for it.
Even with the toilets.
Like, yeah.
We saw the toilet in the first scene, and I was like, oh, that's like a really old toilet. Like, they went that far. Like, I know it's, I know
no,
it sounds
it.
Stupid,
I get
but,
that. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I am interested to see more of, like, Elizabeth take hold of the show now more. Obviously, after the first episode, it's hard to, you know, you can see that coming.
Right.
But I'm excited to see that happen and see her become a force.
I feel like at the end of the episode, they were kind of passing the torch.
Yes.
Where this episode was like, okay, this is about the king, but the rest of the time is going to be about the queen.
Mm-hmm.
And
but I think you have to establish that first to see where she came from.
You're right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you folks.
Yeah, we're going to keep watching.
This is a little bit of a shorter episode, but we had a lot to talk about. We talked about The Crown. We talked about a little personal stuff. And and we also talked about the state of the network. So please, guys, if you have any questions or if you want to check out anything about the new shows, go to thenerdparty.com. Or you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/The Nerd Party. You can find us on Twitter at Join Nerd Party. And please go to one of our sponsors at lootcrate.com/nerdparty. From there, you can get a great subscription box service, a geek box service, where they will send you $40 worth of merchandise for less than $20. And if you go to lootcrate.com/nerdparty, enter in code Nerd Party, you'll save even more money off of that. We're talking like Pop Funkos, comic books, t-shirts. We've gotten a few boxes, and they've been just, it's been awesome every single time. And also, please go to nerdsandbeyond.com. They've got great news for you, really concise, really great, always on top of things, and really diverse content, too. Anything that makes you a nerd. So thank you so much for downloading and subscribing. And if you want to help out the show, go to iTunes.
Write us a review.
Give us whatever rating you think this show deserves. But if you do give us a 5-star review, not just a rating, but a 5-star review, we will mention you on the show. So please, if you like what you hear, if you like us and you like the entertainment that we give you, it really helps us out and it costs you nothing and it only takes a minute.
I love you.
I know.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.